Hey everybody, it's Rick and Rob. How you doing?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Good. This is the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Yep.
Welcome you back for another week.
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a lot going on.
A lot. How you feeling?
You know, I'm feeling a lot better today. I was down.
Yeah.
I was sick enough I took two COVID tests.
Really?
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Like,
I took one on a Wednesday, and I started feeling bad Wednesday, and I thought, okay, this is day three after being at the rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be COVID.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the obvious choice.
That's right. Obvious choice.
Yeah.
Took a COVID test, negative. Friday, didn't feel any better. Took another COVID test, negative.
Wow.
It was crazy.
But you're feeling better now. That's a good thing.
I feel a ton better right now.
Good.
You know, it's kind of crazy sometimes when you start to feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The things you can accomplish. Now, other than my elbow is still jacked up, I'm probably another 4 or 6 weeks away from being able to ride.
And that's terrible because right now is ideal time to ride.
I may have rode a couple times.
Don't say that. That wasn't heard on.
Linda knows.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Because originally the orthopedic said I could ride less than 10 miles.
Okay.
Well, that.
Less than 10 miles altogether?
Round trip.
Oh, because there's a lot of ways to fudge that.
I know. I tried. If I stop every 10 miles.
Exactly.
And she was like, they were not having it.
Yeah.
Not having it.
Well, you tried.
I did. So I went to Friendship a couple times.
Oh.
Now, what I did learn is that I had a slow leak in my back tire.
Well, it's better to learn that now.
Yeah. So I got a new tire put on.
Well, that's good.
You know, so might as well do that while I can't use it.
So do you use a local shop to do your tire?
I did. I went to Southeast Motorsports just to put my tire on.
Those are great guys.
Absolutely.
That's where I got my helmet and my Bluetooth helmet comm.
Oh, yeah.
From Southeast. Yeah, great.
I need to order the Bluetooth. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I'm digging my new helmet. I got the HJC I-90.
That's what I got. I'm going to tell you, the HJC Smart 20 is perfect.
And that's what I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
I just haven't ordered it yet.
Yeah. It's funny that the Bluetooth is more expensive than the helmet.
Yes, I know, right?
But it's totally worth it completely. Yeah. I've had other Bluetooth devices in other helmets. I rode a Bilt helmet, exclusive one for a while, and had just I gave $28 for it on eBay.
Right.
Just some helmet comm that goes in there. And once I got the earpieces situated correctly, I could hear pretty decent in it. But the difference in that Bilt helmet and the level of noise that it had versus the I-90 is night and day.
Oh, I'm sure. That helmet's amazing.
It is truly amazing.
You know, and I did, I think you were the one that told me, like, just go to Cycle Gear and try them all on. Oh, yeah. It may have been Hammer, but I don't remember who it was.
Yeah. It's probably Hammer. But
one of you.
Yeah, right? One of us. Yeah.
And so I just went to Cycle Gear and I just started trying them on.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this is the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's a little tight right here on your cheeks at first, but it's perfect. You know?
I mean, I rode it. I wore it all the way to Georgia and back.
Yeah.
I was just like, not a big deal. Felt fine.
Yeah. I've been wearing mine all year long. I got it. My oldest bonus daughter, or my only bonus daughter, got it for me for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I love it. Absolutely.
It's perfect.
Love it. Yeah.
It's perfect.
It is. It is.
All right. So we got a new topic today.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about challenges and the way that we face those challenges.
That's a big topic.
It is a big topic, but here's what got me thinking about it. So I had a national officer put out a challenge to a prospect here in Tennessee, and it's a very club specific thing, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. He put a challenge out to him to find the five different types of pine cones that are native to Tennessee.
Okay.
And bring him one of each. Now, there's a lesson for that we teach in Forge Brotherhood, right? So that got me thinking about the way that we face challenges.
Yeah.
Whether it be a physical challenge, like with health, okay. Like what you had, last couple of weeks, or whether it be a spiritual challenge or something that's coming up in our life, whether it be in our marriage, at work or whatever.
Yeah.
And the way that we prepare for those. So I just want to take a few minutes today and kind of just open up that conversation between you and I and kind of get a floating idea of the way that we do it personally, and then compare that back to the way that, because I want to talk a little bit about Peter getting out of the boat.
Okay.
Okay.
That's that was a challenge for him.
Yeah, it was. Right? It was.
So I think for me, you know, everybody handles challenge different. I think it depends on the challenge.
Right.
Right. You know, if it's a health challenge with, you know, somebody you love, the way I'm going to handle that is much different than if it's, you know, something that I'm going through.
Right.
Right. You know, like for me, I've had problems with my elbow, right? We know 8 weeks ago I had elbow surgery. Yep. I can't ride. And then I start physical therapy and it hurts really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just like, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to deal with it. We'll figure it out, right?
Right.
That's my challenge, is just like, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to – what can I do, right? It is what it is.
Sure.
But my wife's like, no, the physical therapist hurt him.
Right.
And I don't know how to – it's like almost like confrontation to me. And so the challenge of having to deal with that confrontation, sometimes I'm not willing to.
Yeah. I'm not a confrontational kind of guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so coming into that kind of situation is something that I would have to step back and look at.
Yeah.
Case in point, there have been times when some challenges arose in my life with Rebecca.
Yeah.
Not between Rebecca and I. I'm not saying that.
right.
But in a certain situation where Rebecca felt slighted by somebody else.
Keep going, because I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you stand up for your wife in a way that isn't confrontational, but at the same time, and here's the kick to this, glorifies God even in a church setting?
I don't know how to do that.
Where things need to be said.
I'm going to be honest and say I don't know how to do that.
Exactly. Right. And that's the reason that I wanted to talk about it a little bit today. And
because that's the same reason that another topic that we're going to do is, how do you deal with conflict in a church?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is down that same line.
Right down the same line.
Right. It's a challenge for you as a husband, for me as a husband, to honor my wife and protect her.
Mm-hmm.
But do it in a way that honors God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I struggle with that.
I do too. But to keep the two topics separate.
Yeah.
I want to kind of come back around and look at how we. So let's talk about this. The health challenges that you had.
Yeah.
All right. There was a prescribed method to mend your elbow.
That's right.
Surgery first.
That's right.
And then rest.
Yep.
Then you started physical therapy.
Yeah.
Right? And so now then, that physical therapy has actually got to take a turn and go in a different direction.
That's right.
Because the first physical therapy didn't actually work out the way it should.
Correct.
So now then, we're looking at what's the difference in the first physical therapy and the new physical therapy that's coming up, so that, number one, you're not completely inconvenienced.
Yeah.
Number two, the physical pain threshold that you're going to go through to fix what wasn't fixed the first time, and then to continually fix your elbow.
Yeah. It's a lot.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
You know, and but at the same time, getting back to this prospect challenge, you know, the way this prospect has got to look at that challenge is, number one, what are the five native pine cones in Tennessee?
That's right. And where are they?
Where are they? Located, exactly.
Right. Because it's going to be five different regions.
And how do you differentiate between one kind of pine cone versus another kind of pine cone?
Yeah.
And so the way that he faces that, yeah, and the way that he tackles that challenge, obviously, in the end, it's going to show him what the lesson in the pine cone challenge is.
Yeah.
So how do, looking at something like that, Let's do it a little bit different. Go ahead.
So if you use that, that's a great example, right? Because then what you got to do is you can't just start.
Right.
Right. You can't just dive in. You can't just dive in feet first.
Right.
So when you look at that challenge, you have to say, what do I need to do to be successful in this challenge?
Right.
Right. And you have to start with some type of baseline. Okay. First, I got to do research.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like you said with my arm, right? First, right. I got to do surgery.
Right.
Then I got to do rest.
Right.
Then I got to do physical therapy. Then there may be something else. I don't know yet.
Right.
I'm hoping there's not. Let's be honest.
You're going to come out of this with a bionic arm. You realize that, right?
I might actually. So regardless of what the challenge is, you have to understand the steps of success.
Exactly.
Right?
Right. So
that's the beginning part. What are the steps of success?
So when you look at the steps of success and you look at what it's going to take to accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
Once you see what the challenge is, you have to define the goal.
Yeah.
Right? Just like with your elbow.
Yeah.
The goal was to be able to ride again and be pain-free.
Right. Pain-free and ride before the regional rally.
Okay. And that's an acceptable goal.
Yeah. I'm not going to hit it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, had things gone correctly.
We believe I would have hit it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
However, now we're in a different picture.
That's right.
So you do the research to find out what's going on and what it's going to take to get from point A to point B.
Right.
And then you have to map out those steps, right? So I bring this up because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about how we go from point A to point B, but I want to talk about how we glorify God in the middle of it.
Right.
So let's just go back to the surgery part. Okay? Because you went in, it was an outpatient thing, right?
Yeah. I went in one morning.
Came back out that afternoon.
It was like a 45-minute surgery or something.
Yeah. So, but in the time that you were there, right? So you check in that morning.
That's right.
They, you go through all of the pre-check list with, taking all jewelry out and, all of that. So you get ready for the surgery. You got to put on the gown and.
Yeah. I mean, you put on the gown. They give you the
local
anesthesiologist comes. Yeah. They give you the IV.
Explains everything that's going on, right?
Here's what's going to happen.
Right. So then you go through that procedure and you move on to the next step.
Yeah.
Which was rest.
Yeah.
Right?
It was rest. It was hard.
Right. Because
it was rest.
Because you and I are a lot alike in that I don't sit still very well.
No, I do not.
I'm just not good at that.
That's right. I'm not either.
Now, there are times at the end of the day when I can veg out, talking to my wife or watching TV or whatever at the end of the day. But I know that I've accomplished other things during the day. So
we work all day long. And
right. You know. So there is that rest period, the kind of that wind down thing from what you do. However, this is where I want to go with this. So we understand what's in front of us and prepare ourselves by listening to the anesthesiologist, putting on the gown, having the local – having the anesthesia start.
Right.
We prepare ourselves for what's going to happen. How do we prepare ourselves when we end up in a spiritual challenge?
Well, I think your preparation starts long before that challenge occurs.
True.
Right? Because you have to understand how you can defend yourself against that challenge.
Uh-huh.
And if you haven't prepared, then it's prayer, right? It's, Holy Spirit, help me right now. Like, I need you right now to help me.
Yeah. But that comes from sanctification, though, and growing in our faith.
That's true. That's
right?
True. Yeah.
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 Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's true. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
Right. I think a lot of spiritual challenges occur for people, and they're not prepared. They're not prepared with the tools.
Right.
Right. And that the first tool is prayer.
Amen.
Right?
It's got to start there.
It's got to start there. You got to go to God.
Right.
But if you don't know how to do that, you're not comfortable doing that because you haven't practiced it or prepared for it, that spiritual challenge could really take you down. I mean, for lack of a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, though, you know, we talk about and prayer is so essential that it gets, you know, it's almost people almost get cliche-ish.
They do.
With it, you know, like, I'll pray for you.
They absolutely do. I try to, you know, you see people on Facebook all the time, like, you know, I'll pray for you. I try to not reply to that stuff unless I'm like, I'm going to pray for you right now. Like, if I say I'm praying, I'm doing it right now.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Because I may get busy, and it's not that I like forget or I don't want to do it, but I may have 10 other things that I need to go worry about, work related or ministry related or family related or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be very specific when I say I'm going to pray for you, especially on social media, because I don't want to say something and not do it.
Right. I'm not trying to throw a term out there. I'm trying to tell you what I'm going to do.
That's right.
And that's the way I view that. And we have dumbed ourselves down because of social media in saying things like that, or like, I love peanut butter sandwiches, or, you know.
Right.
You know, love is specific.
Yes, it is.
And we generalize a lot of things, and I think a lot of times we generalize challenges that are before us thinking, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I can't without direction from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And knowing what the Word says about those specific things.
Yeah, if you don't know what the Word says, it's almost like, and I don't want to take away from, you know, somebody saying, well, okay, I'm going to pray. But if you don't know what the Word says, how do you know how to pray for God to help you?
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's some, like, way you have to pray.
Sure. No, right? there's
like, not. I mean, you and I, like, I know we've talked about this before. I'll be on my bike and just be like, God.
Yeah.
Right? I need to know where to go with this. I need you to just help me understand.
Fancy words are not required.
That's right. You know, when I was growing up, I remember seeing, like, oh, you kneel down on the side of the bed. You you cross your arms.
And you bow your head. Your fingers.
You're like, yeah. Oh, right? Yeah. Like all those things. But
that's
not how it works.
No.
Right?
No. Or we wouldn't have a scripture where Paul says, pray without ceasing.
That's right.
You know, and so here's another thing of you talked about knowing what the scripture says. How do you interpret pray without ceasing? Does that mean we have to be, you know, monastery?
I mean, I know how I interpret it.
Oh, well, I do too. Right. And I know how, you know, how I interpret
it. That's right. But if people just took that scripture,
mm-hmm.
I think that, and they didn't really understand, I think that some people may think, you know, you think about, you know, like, you know, a monk praying all day long.
Right. That's right? All he does.
That's all he does. He just prays all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they believe. Well, he says pray without ceasing, but I'm not going to become a monk.
Yeah. Well, burlap doesn't look good on me in the first place.
Right. Look. I may or may not be shaped like a potato. The burlap sack would be bad. No.
It would have to be an awful long burlap sack for me.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, 6'4". It's a lot of burlap.
I definitely don't have that problem.
Yeah. Well, and you don't also have the challenge of fitting in a bed.
That's true. I mean, it's got to be a king-size bed for me, but I don't have that challenge.
I have a king-size bed, and my feet still hang off of it.
Yeah, well, that's perfect for me. I like my feet to hang off.
See, I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, love it. So how does the challenges that we face tie back to Peter?
Okay, so I'm ready. I'm really ready to talk about this.
Okay.
So there's several different things that tie in with this. So when you look back in the book of Matthew about when Jesus walked on the water and Peter wanted to get out of the boat to walk to Jesus on the water.
Yeah.
I've always told people you can't just cherry pick scripture.
That's right.
And the context that's around it is very important to what's happening in the wording of that scripture.
When you say context, I think it would be important to maybe explain what you mean by that to people, right? Because I think it's different for everybody.
Well,
maybe it shouldn't be, but
I don't think it should be. Well, let me explain. And let me use this particular story as a reference, okay? Right. So Jesus sent the apostles away to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee.
Correct.
Okay? Now, if you stop right there, there's all kinds of sermon material in that. But let's go a little bit deeper and let's dig down a little bit. So if you look at what the when I say the context of the story, in other words, what's going on around this? Why did Jesus send them away? Well, his first cousin had just been beheaded.
Right.
John the Baptist.
That's right.
Had just been beheaded. He had also just fed 5,000 people. Now, Scripture says 5,000 men.
Right. And that doesn't include women
and children. Right. So if you factor in the American dream with this, with a wife and 2.3 kids,
that's right.
5,000 men, we're looking at roughly 22,000 people.
That's right.
That he fed with five loaves and two fishes. And
two fish.
Yeah. Right. And the apostles all had a doggy bag to take home with them.
That's right. They had more than this.
Right. Because they collected 12 baskets.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus sends them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, where the Sea of Galilee is at its widest point is 8 miles.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we can see basically by just straight line vision about a mile.
Okay.
Okay. So when the scripture says that they saw Jesus walking from afar off, walking across the water. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, first of all, according to what the scripture says. So obviously he's lit by the moonlight dancing off the water.
That's right.
Right? And they've been out in the boat all night long. Okay? So Jesus is walking on the water. Here is the challenge. Okay? Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you, and I will. And Jesus says, come on, basically.
Yeah.
So Peter gets out of the boat. Now, it says, the scripture says, that Peter saw the winds and the waves. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never physically seen the wind.
No, I haven't either.
I've seen the effects of the wind.
Yeah, and I've seen waves, which are the effects of the wind.
Right. But they're also in a fishing boat.
Yeah.
Which is
not a fishing boat like we know today.
Right.
Let's think about that, right?
It's basically just a big skiff.
That's right.
A big rowboat.
That's right. It's not what we think of as a fishing boat.
Right. Right. And it's
just a wood.
Just a wooden hull.
Basically.
Right. That's all it is. So Peter gets out of the boat and he sees the winds and the waves. But here's the thing. He took his eyes off Jesus and immediately started to sink. He was obviously within arm's reach because Jesus reached down and picked him up. And check this out. When he got in the boat, it was peaceful.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say a word, but the winds and the waves stopped and they worshiped. So here's where I want to go with that. The challenge, first of all, was Peter sees Jesus coming from afar off. Now, I don't know how far out they were. Scripture doesn't say that. It's immaterial.
Could have been a mile.
Could have been, because we know we can see about a mile away, but it's dark.
True. Moon could have been lighting him up.
However, also, this is God's beloved son.
Could have just been light.
He could have been light.
Yeah.
Right? So.
I mean, he says that numerous places. Right?
Exactly. I'm the way, the truth, and the light.
That's right.
No man come to the Father. Yeah. So Peter steps out and he sees what he thinks is going to overtake him. He sees a challenge. But he's also in a roundabout way, challenged the Lord.
Yeah.
He challenged Jesus because he said, if that's really you, bid me to come and I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, two things. Peter says, if Peter challenges the Lord, then he says, or then scripture says, he sees the winds and the waves because he took his eyes off of the light.
That's right.
He took his eyes off of what he should have been focused on. And when we earlier talked about you with your surgery,
yeah,
knowing the steps, you followed those things. You stayed focused to what you were supposed to do.
That's right.
One step didn't quite work out, not because you didn't focus on it, but because so what I'm saying is, had you taken your eye off of the focus of the first physical therapy,
yeah,
and even if the physical therapy was wrong, how much worse off would you be right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you be sinking in the water?
Maybe.
So
if the first physical therapist did the right thing, right? If it mm-hmm. did, if it helped, if it wasn't overworking it, I'd be way better off today.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I would be way better off. I wouldn't be sinking in the water because so I stayed focused on it.
You stayed focused on what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Now, scripture might have been different had Peter kept his eyes on the Lord.
Yeah, he wouldn't
have. He wouldn't have sunk.
He wouldn't have seen the wind and the waves.
But at the same time, how much better was the glory of Jesus exalted because he picked Peter up out of the water, and when they got into the boat, 13 guys in a little rowboat, the storm stopped.
Yeah.
And they worshiped.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
So here's my end result to this. So when you go through those challenges and you realize that you have taken your eyes off the Lord.
Yeah.
And he saves you and gets you through the storm, and the storm stops.
Yeah.
And the glory of God is revealed in that stoppage.
Yeah.
And you have faced the challenge, whether or not you have completed it or overcome the challenge or whatever, but you're still safe because of Christ and our salvation.
Yeah. That's, I think it's a way I hadn't thought about it.
Thought about a challenge?
Yeah.
That way?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a way I hadn't thought about the challenges.
Yeah.
Because we have lots of challenges in life, right?
We do.
But when you look at them with the right focus, the outcome is different.
Right. Especially.
You don't see the potential risks in the challenge.
True.
Right?
Right.
You don't see the danger in the challenge
mm-hmm.
when you're focused, right? Because Peter didn't see the danger as long as he's looking at Christ.
Right. But when he took his eyes off Christ,
right,
that's when he saw what was scary.
That's right. That's hard.
It is.
You know, and throughout Scripture, we can see times where people have challenged God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Gideon.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Gideon right? And the gold, and we call it the golden fleece, but it wasn't golden.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Like, put dew right there,
mm-hmm.
and I'll believe you. Okay, that was too easy. Keep that part dry.
Yeah, keep that dry and make everything else wet.
Make everything else wet.
Yeah.
There's tons of challenges like that.
There really are. There really are. And so here's another flip side to the Peter story.
Okay.
So why was Peter the only one that wanted to get out of the boat?
I don't know.
So who's in your boat with you? Guys that are going to encourage you? Guys that are going to pray with you through that challenge? Guys that are going to be running right beside you to get to the Lord?
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that is you just made me think about
Kelly K.
At our national rally.
Oh.
No. At our national rally last year, mm-hmm. It was in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman from Kentucky got up. She's not a BFC member.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a hang around. That's what just for the lack of a better term, right?
Right.
She's like a hang around. She's a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about the scripture where Jesus sent him and Peter, you know, got out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why did only one person get out of the boat?
Right.
She said, you got to stop sitting in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the boat. Walk with Christ.
Yes, 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 yes.
And do what you're called to do.
Right.
Right? Get out of the boat.
Yep. Yep. But who are you bringing with you along on that journey?
Well, you want people who are going to get out of the boat with
exactly.
you. Right?
Exactly.
You want people who get out of the boat.
You know, come on, James, John. Yeah,
let's do this. Let's come get on. Out of the boat.
Let's what go.
You know? But it's just like when they're in the boat and there's a storm, right? And Jesus is asleep.
Mm-hmm. And they're all freaking out.
They're freaking out. Yeah. Like this. And they, look,
you
by
want
this
us to
time,
die, Jesus?
Yeah. By this time, they've seen miracles.
True.
Right? By this time, they know.
Well, Jesus' ministry is in full swing here.
Right. They know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he is.
They know.
Right? And they're still freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
They're still really challenging his authority.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
I mean, for lack of. Really look at it, because they're like, look, we're going to die and you're over here sleeping. Get up here and help us.
Yeah. What's up with this?
Yeah. Like, why you bring us out here to die?
Yeah. Yeah. So the challenge at that point, was it the storm or was it believing in Christ?
It was believing in Christ.
Amen.
Right? It was 100% believing in Christ. It wasn't the storm.
Right.
Because if you believed, you would have been sleeping next to him.
Right.
Regardless of what's going on the outside.
Yes. Amen. Yep.
He's got me.
He's got me.
Right? So when you talk about who do you want with you,
uh-huh.
right, that's why for me, and I'm sure for you, but I'm not going to answer for you, but that's why I love Bikers for Christ. That's why you're with Forged Brotherhood.
I love Bikers for Christ too, though.
I know. And I love Forged Brotherhood too, right? But I have a relationship with them
mm-hmm.
that you don't, and you have a relationship with your brothers that I don't.
Right.
It doesn't mean that I don't love them. It's just they're in the boat with you.
Right.
Right? And you know they're going to get out of that boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about my brothers.
Because we've walked through challenges together.
Absolutely.
We have done that together.
Absolutely.
You know, and you and I have done some of that at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, we have. We have that challenge.
So when we look at those things and we put those into a perspective of how do we face those?
Yeah.
And it's always got to come back to trusting in what God tells us and trusting in what Jesus does with us. And trust in how the Holy Spirit leads us.
And sometimes it's hard. I'm going to be honest.
I'm not going to deny it.
The worldly human part of me.
Sure. Sure.
Wants to be upset sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I want to be upset at this physical therapy place.
Right.
Like, you've hosed me.
Mm-hmm.
I should be riding next week to our regional.
Right.
But you sent me back a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to look at it like, here's how I looked at it, and I was upset this morning, but, you know, the two times that I was there, I had a pretty good opportunity to minister to them because I still wear all my Bikers for Christ stuff,
oh, yeah.
even, you know, whether I can ride or not.
Right.
And they were, you know, there were a couple of them were asking questions. What about this? What about that? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to have those conversations.
Right.
Well, now I get to go do it again.
Well, that's a plus.
Right. I get to go do it with somebody else, another physical therapy place.
Yeah. I had the same thing kind of yesterday. I went to leave work yesterday and jumped in the truck, and I knew yesterday I should have rode a bike. I just knew I should have rode a bike. But I drove my truck, went to get in the truck after work, 4:00, put the key in the ignition, hit it, nothing. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Love it.
This battery's 3 years old.
Horrible.
You know? So I get somebody to come jump me off, guy's in a brand new Cadillac.
Yeah.
So we popped a hood. It took us forever to find the hood latch on a Cadillac, and we finally found that. Opened it up, and I'm an old country boy, just old redneck.
Is this one of those new ones that don't even have a battery?
It's got a battery, but the positive post is on one side, and the negative post is a jump post.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's a positive post that sits right above the battery, and then the negative post is over here behind the radiator.
Yeah.
So, you know, get my truck jumped off, go to Advanced Auto Parts. $252 later, I have a new battery in my truck. But $252?
Yeah.
For a truck battery.
Yeah.
You know, and so I left and I was on a Marco Polo video with my crew yesterday, and I was like, "Oh, I just spent $252 on a battery for this truck." And I shook my head and I went, "But thank God for the provisions to be able to, you know, buy this battery."
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, praise you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to work, to be able to provide for my family, have a little jingle in my pocket at the end of the month,
yeah,
and buy this battery.
Absolutely.
You know, it was a challenge because, okay, now I got to find somebody to jump me off. Do I have my jumper cables in? Yeah, I have my jumper cables in. You know, so you go through all these things. Yeah. You go back and I went back in the office and got my voltmeter and, you know, tested the battery. Yeah, it's got 11.2 volts. It's a bad battery.
Yeah.
You know, so you get to the parts place and this, you know, 19-year-old kid fresh out of, you know, I'm sure he's probably still going to Votech school, which praise God he's going to Votech school.
Yeah. Right.
You know, comes out and he's like, "Can you start it?" "No, I can't start it. It won't start."
Why do you think I'm here?
Exactly. So we run a battery test and he's like, "Yeah, this thing's supposed to be at like 800 cold crank amps and it's like 430.
Right.
You know, so, and I'm telling him it's a bad battery.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a bad battery.
I appreciate you doing the research, but we could get done faster.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I was just, you know, you go through all that stuff and trying to find somebody to help you. And then you get there and you know, I'm not saying it was rigmarole because the kid needed to be sure that what he was going to put in my truck was right.
Right.
So I appreciate that. But I more than anything else, I appreciate God giving me the ability to provide for my family and to be able to provide in ministry so that I can buy this battery.
Yeah, it's important that they do that.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't tell you I got new tires put on my truck.
Oh, my goodness.
So I go, and it really was a challenging day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I call. You know,
made an appointment.
I didn't even make an appointment. I called them. I went online, and I'm not going to say who it was. Cause
you don't have to.
Right. I call. I go online. I look. It says, yes, they got the tires I want. So I call. "Hey, can you make sure?" Like, I went online. I just, "Can you make sure you have the tires?"
Mm-hmm.
They come back. "Yes, absolutely. We got them." I'm like, "When can I come in?" They said, "Well, I mean, you know, I'll put," the guy said, "Would you want to do it today?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll put you in the queue now." So it was probably like 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, "If you show up at 10:30, you'll probably have 3 or 4 cars ahead of you." I said,
"I know where this is going."
Sweet.
Yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Right? So I get there at 10:30. They say, "You'll be done by 12:15. I said, "Okay." So, I mean, I had my computer and I was working a little bit and, you know, hanging out. And at 12:30... About 12 o'clock, they had actually pulled my truck in the bay.
Oh, they already had it in the bay.
Yeah, about 12 o'clock, they had it in the bay. I thought, well, this is better than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Right? Because they said they'd be done at 12:15. So I'm like, all right, they'll be done by 12:30. It doesn't take long, right? At 12:30, the guy comes and he says, well, we got a problem.
Uh-oh.
I said, what do you mean? He says, we only have 3 of the tires.
What?
I go, I don't know what to tell you, but this is a problem.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, well, if you just want to go drive around. I'm like, so you haven't even taken the tires off my truck? He goes, well, we've been looking for the other tire.
For 30 minutes.
Yeah. I said, I ain't leaving. We'll just sit right there in that bay.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, well, we can get another one. It'll take us about 45 minutes to get it here. I said, okay, that's fine.
Leave my truck there, though.
Leave my truck there.
Yeah.
Now, they were cool. He was like, I'll give you, you know, I'll give you 2 tires for free.
That's good. Because
the tires are like $400 each.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
They're not cheap. But I felt, I didn't feel right taking it. Right.
All right.
So I said, you don't got to do that. He's like, well, I'll give you the warranty for free.
Well, that's good.
I said, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's like $80 or $100 a tire.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't want him to be out a bunch of money, which that's a challenge. I thought about taking the money.
Well.
But, you know, they were like, for your inconvenience. The challenging part of the story was when they were backing my truck. This is my new truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Backing it out of the bay, they hit the passenger side mirror.
Uh-uh.
On the building.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
So the manager comes in. He's like, well, we're ready with your truck, but I got to tell you something. I'm like, what? He's like, well, they hit the mirror. I'm hit the mirror on what? On the building.
Wait. Let me, folks, this is a chrome mirror.
Yeah. Not just a chrome mirror. It's got cameras in it.
Yeah, cameras, right? And heat. Heated. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. And okay. Indicate, it's got, you know, puddle lamps. And
It's got the works, right?
Yeah.
So now I want to freak out. It was challenging not to.
Yeah.
But at that point, what can I do?
You're stuck at that point.
Yeah, I'm stuck. So he says, look, I've already called my insurance company. They're going to take care of it. I'm like, sweet. I went to Ford yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, whew, that's not a cheap mirror.
Mm-mm.
$2,500.
I was going to say it's probably a $1,500 or better mirror.
With labor and everything, it's $2,300. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
The challenge is, how do you not freak out on them? Like, I wanted to just choke them out.
Yeah, and understandably so.
Yeah.
Because that's something, I mean, and here's the thing. You've got something that you have taken pride in.
Yeah.
You take care of it.
Absolutely.
You worked hard to be able to get to whatever level of vehicle that you drive. In any case.
Right. And here's how it works, right? You and I have both been through this, right? We had four kids that had to go to college.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the first new truck I have ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because we had kids and grandkids and
yep.
college payments and all of these things, right? And now that we are empty nesters, that they are all no longer on the payroll,
mm-hmm.
I can buy a new truck.
You can buy a new truck.
And what happens?
Somebody jacks up my new truck.
All I got to say is praise God that I found Christ, because it may have been bad.
It may have been. But here's the thing. With that challenge that was in front of you.
Yeah.
And the way that you faced it, and the way that you tackled it, and the way that you used the tools that you had to, number one, keep your composure, keep your cool, you know, that's a testament to what you have on your shirt.
Yeah. Because it would not have always been that way.
No.
Right? There are times in my life that I'd have been like, I'm going to own this place. Like, mm-hmm. I want somebody fired.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be all up in somebody for that.
I would have. There were times in my life that I'd be like, I want you to fire him right now. Like, I want to see you do it. I want the satisfaction of watching.
Of watching it happen.
And how, like, just ridiculous is that when you really think about the way I've acted in the past?
Exactly.
Like, that's somebody's life. And let's be honest. I don't know what they've been through today.
Right.
I don't know what
it's
kind of
it's not like they set
had.
Out to go, I'm going to wreck Rick's
That's
truck.
Right. They didn't go like, watch this.
Yeah.
I'm going to back it up and hit the mirror. Because it's still usable.
Yeah.
It's smashed up and damaged. It still works. They're going to replace it. But how terrible would it have been to just, like, that guy probably already feels bad enough. He was probably got yelled at by the manager who was like, this is the guy we just made wait.
Right.
And now we've jacked up his mirror.
So he's called in. He's done all the right things. We told him we have the tires.
That's right.
Get up here, and he's got to wait because we don't have what we said we were supposed to have.
That's right.
And now we've done something else to his vehicle.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude probably felt about snake's belly in a wagon rut tall.
Yeah. I remember telling the manager, I said, I don't really know if there's anything I can say. Like, give me your card.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just give me some contact information so that when I get this done, it's...
That's right. That's right.
The $2,300.
It's rough.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about empty nesting.
Yeah.
You know, and going through, you know, taking the kids to taekwondo or soccer practice or, you know, cheerleading or whatever.
Right.
You know, theater and all the different things that, you know, all of our kids did.
Yeah.
You know, and now that we're empty nesters and able to do those kind of things, you know, it's easy to see how a little slip up, because we worked hard for so long to get to this point.
Yeah.
Not that I've arrived.
It's definitely not. It's definitely not arrived.
Yeah.
Right.
Not that I've arrived, but still that because being in my position where I've been with the same company for almost 17 years.
Yeah.
you know, I've put a lot of time in and put in a lot of sweat.
Yeah.
You know, to get here and then to have, you know, the fruits of my labor wrecked is disconcerting and disconcerting.
Absolutely.
So praise God for where we are.
Absolutely. So how do you want to finish up talking about challenges?
So here's what I want to talk about. This is how I want to kind of land this. In the challenges that we have every day and the way that we face them will determine how effective our witness is in everything that we do.
Absolutely.
So the way that you handled that situation with your mirror, or the way that you handled the situation with the physical therapist, speaks volumes about the way that God has moved you from your old self.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now then, the wind and the waves that are around you, you still stay focused on Jesus.
Every day, every second of every day.
So that's how I want to land this.
Yeah.
As long as we continue to sanctify ourselves, as long as we continue to grow,
yeah,
and keep focused on Christ, the challenges that we come about in our life, we'll never see the wind and the waves.
That's crazy. It's awesome. You're right. We never will.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell people that who don't understand.
But we have to live that.
I know. We do.
And that's the only way that we can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Through our actions.
Exactly.
Right. Why are you so happy? Well, because.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why.
Let me tell you the difference in my happiness and my joy.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's that Ann Wilson song? My Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that song.
Great song.
Great song. Yeah. Great song. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Because that's what you got to do. Yeah. Why are you so happy? Let me tell you.
Exactly. Exactly.
How do you deal with the problems like that? Let me tell you.
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This has been a great one.
It has been. I've enjoyed it. It's fun.
Me too. Me too.
It's fun. So.
All right. So if you're listening, a couple things. If you want a topic, send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yep. Shoot us some emails.
Yeah. You know, this week has been amazing. I think the last couple of weeks we have, you know, actually, I didn't tell you this. I should tell you this. You know, I keep the camper at a campground.
Mm-hmm.
And after we did the Little Wolf podcast, the last one,
mm-hmm.
I get this text message from the owner of the campground.
Really?
And it's just a link to the podcast. And I replied. I'm like, hey, thanks, Tim. Glad you're listening. He's like, I'm sorry. I meant to send that to my friends.
That's great.
I like That's this. Is great. Awesome. This
yeah,
is awesome.
That is awesome.
So, look, send us topics. We'd love to hear it. We, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to talk about the things that everybody wants to hear about.
Exactly.
So,
sure do.
So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening. It's Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember, love God, love people.
Love people.